ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Today we are constantly being bombarded with propaganda, telling us that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel. Therefore, you must be good to them as they endeavor to cheat you and blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. Where do people get such a crazy, distorted belief? Many ignorantly believe that the Bible says that the Jews are Israel. But I challenge anyone to give me one single Bible scripture where it says that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel, and I'll give $1,000 cash to anyone who does. I pray that this will cause someone to think for themselves and to search the scriptures as Jesus commanded in John 5:39. What do the scriptures say? In Luke 19:11 through 27, Jesus speaks a parable about a nobleman, his 10 servants, and his wicked citizens. The nobleman refers to Jesus Christ. The 10 servants refer to the 10-tribe kingdom of Israel and not to the 2-tribe kingdom of Judah. Who does the Bible say that God's servants are? Israel, Isaiah 41:8 and Romans 9:4. Who then are the citizens that hated Jesus and said in verse 14, "We will not have this man to reign over us"? Were not the wicked citizens the Jews? Notice what they told Pilate in John 19:15. They have never allowed Jesus to reign over them, even until this day. What is the fate of these wicked citizens? Remember, not the servants, but the citizens, the Jews, as stated by Jesus Christ in verse 27. Does he say, "Bring these which would not that I should reign over them," the Jews, "and I will save them"? No, but he said, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." The Jews are God's enemies, which he will slay. I know that in Romans 11:25, Paul says that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Paul does not say that total blindness has happened to Israel. Many ignorant people try to use this verse to explain why the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, but if you will read the verse correctly, it does not even speak about the Jews. If Israel did forget God, then his promise in Psalms 9:17 would be carried out upon the nation. Notice what God says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Since the Bible never speaks of Israel being turned into hell, we know that she has not forgotten God, Jesus Christ. "For whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father," 1 John 2:23. If Israel had forgotten her God, she would have been totally blind. What has Israel forgotten and become blind to in her partial blindness? Her own identity and her lineage, which is prophesied in Hosea 2:6, 1:10, and 2:17. Why did the Jews reject Jesus Christ? Simply because they are not God's chosen people, Israel. Note in Matthew 15:25, Jesus said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And in John 10:26, Jesus tells the Jews, "But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Jesus said that Israel are his sheep, and then tells the Jews that they are not his sheep. Therefore, the Jews are not and have never been Israel. Just as Jesus had already told them, the Jews in John 8, 31 through 47. Here we see that the Jews began to brag and to boast that they were the children of Abraham and that God was their father, just like today. But Jesus refuted both of their lying statements and emphatically tells them in verse 44 that their father is the devil. How can so-called intelligent people believe that God's chosen people have the devil as their father? Did not Jesus instruct the men which followed him to pray to God, calling him our Father? Also, we read in the prophets that God is the Father of Israel. What did Jesus mean in Matthew 21, 43 through 44, that the kingdom of God would be taken from the Jews in Palestine and given to a nation? Now, he didn't say church, but given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Where is that nation today? Look at the nations of the world today and see which one fits the description of this chosen nation. In Jeremiah 33, verses 17 through 22, God states that David will always have a descendant upon the throne of the house of Israel. We know that in 586 B.C., Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, and the king line ceased to reign in Jerusalem. Well, is God a liar? No. Where then was the descendant of David reigning over the throne of the house of Israel? Those who have studied the Bible know that Jesus has not yet taken the throne of David either. Therefore, since God's word is true, there must be a descendant of David reigning today over the house of Israel. Where is this king and the people of the house of Israel? Who are the royal families of the earth today? And over what race of people do they reign? Do the Jews today have their king? Of course not. How absurd. So let's look for the fulfillment of this prophecy given by God in a race of people today. And this race will be the house of Israel. What did God mean in 2 Samuel 7:10 when he said to King David in Palestine, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Where is this future land where God will plant Israel, a place from which they would never move? You know, this prophecy could not possibly refer to Palestine for two reasons. First, because they were already in Palestine when this future prophecy was given, and secondly, because Israel was deported out of Palestine on various occasions. No, Palestine is not this future land from which Israel would never move. Where is this land of blessing that God promised to give Israel today? Where is the land from whence no one is moving, but everyone is moving to? Think. Where is this new land that Hosea declares would be a large place, Hosea 4:16, and not some little country? Where is the land that is blossoming as a rose, that is the greatest agricultural nation in the world, as spoken by Isaiah 35:1? Where is this large land that lays between two seas, an eastern sea and a western sea, which is the greatest of the two? It's prophesied in Ezekiel 47:18 and 20. In Ezekiel 38:8, it says that the land has always been waste until the last days when Israel was regathered into it. Has Palestine always been a waste until today? Was it a waste in King Solomon's day? Of course not. Therefore, again, Palestine does not fit the Bible's description of the land into which Israel will be regathered in the last days. Where is this land that has been uncultivated and unimproved until the last few hundred years? A land that not too long ago was a wilderness, but today is richer than any other, so rich that all the nations of the world will come up against her to spoil all her goods, as prophesied in Ezekiel 38:12. Does not Palestine have to depend upon the United States for financial aid? So how could Palestine be a rich land they must borrow from others? God said Israel would be His blessed land. Deuteronomy 28:11-12, God says, And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. What nation has done this and is still doing it today? On and on we could go, looking at the prophecies spoken about Israel and asking ourselves, what race of people are these being fulfilled in today? For without a doubt, they must be God's covenanted people, Israel, or else God does not keep his word. But praise our God, Jesus Christ, for he does keep his word. Let every man be a liar, but God be true. Israel today is the nation which is experiencing these blessings prophesied by God. Look around. Think for yourself. Where is the richest nation, the most blessed nation of all the nations in the earth today? Yes, America, wake up, repent, turn to your God, for you are his people.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken his people. If you would like a tape of today's message, including other programs from this week, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.
Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Let's start with John 8:44. That's the first verse we have. Now, this is a familiar verse to all of you, but Sunday night we were using the 8th chapter of John to show that the Jews were not Israelites, but were actually descendants of Esau. And this is brought out in the Scriptures. One point where it's brought out, they tell Jesus that they'd never been in bondage to any man. Well, we know that Israelite had been in bondage twice. Once in Egypt for 430 years, also another time, the 10-tribe kingdom called the Kingdom of Israel was in bondage by Assyria, and also the 2-tribed
southern kingdom of Judah was in bondage by Babylon for 70 years. So if they'd been any one of the tribes of Israel, they would have been in bondage at least twice. So these Jews told Jesus they'd never been in bondage to any man. This is one indication that they were the descendants of Esau. Also another indication is Jesus was speaking to them so straightly that in the 41st verse of this 8th chapter of John, they said that we be not born of fornication. And according to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we know that Esau is the fornicator, and his children would be known as the children of fornication, these Edomites. So these are the people, these Edomites, whom we call the Jews today. Now, I had an article, I didn't have time for it last Sunday night, that was written by a Jew and appeared in a Jewish newspaper over in Palestine. And this article admits that 9 out of 10 of all the people that we call the Jews today are Khazars in descent or ancestry. They are descendants of the Khazars. Now, if you'll take the Khazars' own written records, archaeology has found some where the Khazars said that they originated in Mount Seir. And from the Bible, we know that the Mount Seir is Edom. So these Khazars originally were Edomites too. They just had a name change. So here Jesus unfolds all this in the 8th chapter. Well, he comes down to the 44th verse and he finally tells them who their father is. They say, Abraham's our father. He said, no, you're not the children of Abraham. They said, well, God's our father. He said, no, God's not your father either. If he was, you would know who I was, and you would understand what I'm saying. But he says, I'll tell you why you don't know what I'm talking about. One reason you can't hear, and the reason you can't hear is because you are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. Now, the word lust there simply means desires. The desires of your father you're going to perform is what he was telling them. All right, then he tells you what the desires of the devil are. What are they? They're the very things that he does. He was a liar and a murderer, right? He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks of the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he's telling them, you're going to be just like your father, the devil. You're all going to be a bunch of murderers and liars. Now that simply is paraphrased into what he said. That's putting it in more modern English. All right. We know that in Jeremiah 31:9, God says, I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. We have two fathers spoken of here in the Bible. We have the father of the Jews, who are really Edomites, and their father's the devil, John 8:44. We also have Israel's father, the nation of Israel. Their father is God, according to the scriptures, Yahweh, Jeremiah 31:9. Therefore, the Jews and Israel are two different people. We have two different fathers. Now, I know that you've heard preachers preach that we were all the children of the devil till we got converted, and that's utter rubbish. You just take the parables of Jesus. What about the parable of the prodigal son? Do you remember the son left his father, and he returned to the same father he left, didn't he? He didn't return to a good godfather because he had left an old wicked devil father. Now, that's how they try to brainwash you to make you think you got two fathers. Before conversion, the devil's your father. After conversion, God's your father. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that. And the parables of Jesus teach the opposite. The only reason we come to God is because He is our Father. We've rebelled from God, and we return to God. We don't rebel from the devil and go off to God. That's not the way the Bible teaches. Now then, the Bible also teaches these that don't believe, these Jews, these Edomites, why don't they believe? There's a reason. Because they are of the devil. How can you hear your father speak and do one thing, and see my Father, God, doing something else. That's why you can't recognize it. And that's what Jesus was telling them. You do the deeds of your Father, I do the deeds of my Father. Your Father's the devil, I'm of God. And Israel's Father is God. All right? So not only do we have two fathers mentioned, but also two descendants, two families of children, don't we? We have the God seed and the devil seed, or the satanic seed, or the seed of the serpent spoken of. You say, well, that's all spiritual. And you can only prove that with John 8:44 and Jeremiah 31:9. Well, let's go on to Matthew 13. Here's another parable. The parables of Jesus are tremendous, but the teaching and truth is hidden. The masses and multitudes will never understand the parables of Jesus because He taught in parables to keep the masses from knowing what He was teaching. If you don't believe this, look, we're in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Look at the 10th verse. And the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It's not given for them to know. How many preachers have you heard stand and say the reason Jesus taught in parables was so that the people could understand? Huh? That contradicts the very words of Jesus. He said, the reason I speak in parables is so they won't understand. It's not given to them to know, but to you it is given to know. And so He would sit down with His disciples and He would explain the parables to them. He never once explained the parables to the multitudes or masses. All right, look in verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them. So He spoke in parables not so that they would understand, but to keep them from understanding. And then He came to His disciples later, or they came to Him, and He would explain the whole thing. One such parable is here in Matthew 13, begins in verse 24. Now the parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed, or his enemy came and sowed the tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now this is interesting, the timing. Notice, the wheat had already sprung up, hadn't it? It was growing great before the tares ever appeared. The tares are always the come lately. The tares are always the ones that want to get in on the good thing. And the more of them that come in, the more they start choking out the good thing and making it a field of tares, what used to be a field of good wheat. We're looking at our nation today. We were a nation of wheat. When we started producing, when we started becoming a real wheat nation, a righteous nation, all the tares immigrate. You've got your Kissingers, an immigrant. You've had you've had all of them, all the way down the line. Your banking system, Coombe, Loeb, and Shift, and all of them, a bunch of immigrants. You take all the people that own your big industries today, like TV networks, immigrants, bunch of foreigners, aliens, the tares. Why? This is what God's bringing out. It sprung up and brought forth fruit. The wheat was fruitful. Then the tares came. All right? Now then, you want to know what all this means? All right, Jesus explains it all, beginning in verse 35, or 36. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. All right? The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping, or wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right. Now then, we've got our parable in Matthew. We got the good seed, the wheat are who? The children of the kingdom. Children of God, he is the king in the kingdom. Verse 38. All right. Also, the tares are the children of the wicked one. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, soweth the good seed, didn't he? He put the children of the kingdom here. All right? And we know that the devil sowed the tares. This gets back to our two seed lines again. Wheat is always wheat. I don't care how you cut it, you don't make tares into wheat, and you don't make wheat into tares. Wheat is wheat. Wheat may never be fruitful, but it's still wheat. Wheat may be runted, it's still wheat. That's still its nature. God set the laws, everything after its own kind, and you will never find tares producing wheat, and you'll never find wheat producing tares. It's by nature contrary to them. That's why our nation is known as a Christian nation. Not everyone in it is Christian. Not everyone in it is producing wheat fruit, being fruitful. But we are a Christian nation, and we have been a strong nation when our faith was strong, and when our faith weakens, then we weaken. All right, we've got two seeds here, though, two seed lines. Now then, let's look at some others. There's two seeds, two seed lines, one satanic and one divine or divinic. Two seed lines, satanic, divinic. All right, now then, Genesis 3:15 brings this out. We know this is where God's says to the serpent, he's got Adam and Eve and the serpent there before him. He says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right, here we've got two seed lines spoken of again. We have the seed of the woman, and we have the seed of the devil or serpent spoken of here in Genesis 3:15. Now, people that want to make this spiritual run into a problem real fast. The first problem is that in Genesis 4:25, Eve said about her next son, Seth, Eve said, call his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So Eve's talking about her seed as being flesh and blood, not spiritual. The seed of the woman is flesh and blood. So Seth would be the seed of the woman, and it was through this line and lineage that Jesus came, or God in the flesh came. Now this is according to Luke 3:23 through 38. Now the very last verse, Luke gives the genealogy of Jesus starting in the 23rd verse, and the 38th verse goes all the way to Adam. But it even goes one further than Adam. It says, and Adam, which was the son of God. So you want to start? God had a son, Adam. Adam had a son, Seth, the seed of the woman, see. And it's been God's line all the way down from Adam. The Adamic race, the seed of the woman. All right, what does it say in Galatians 4:4? It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, right? Born of a woman. Jesus was born through this seed line. This seed of a woman is a literal flesh and blood seed, not spiritual. Jesus didn't come in spirit. He was spirit in flesh and blood, not something spiritual. I can't see spiritual. If I could, I could see God. He's a spirit. I can see him. I can't see him. Not my eyes. All these preachers want to get up and talk about, you know, seeing with your eyes of faith. I can't see God. He's spirit. And I can't see spirit, but I can see spirit manifested in flesh and blood, and I can touch it, And John said, we've handled it. We've seen it. And we know about it. And they're witness. All right, Jesus was literal flesh and blood, the seed of the woman. Now back in Genesis 3:15, God is telling Satan, between thy seed and her seed I'll put enmity. So if the woman has a literal flesh and blood seed, then what? How can you put enmity between a literal flesh and blood seed over here, the woman's seed, and between a spiritual something somewhere? See, that's kind of hard to do. And this isn't what the Bible's saying. The word zera is translated seed, and it's the same Hebrew word for the devil's seed and the woman's seed. Why? Because they have a literal seed too. This is taking us right back to the two seed lines again. One is of God, one is of Satan. The devil has a seed line or a children, the children of Satan. His own people. He's got some proselytes too, but he's got a flesh and blood race on earth. And don't you mistake it, these are the ones that are compassing land and sea to make one proselyte. And when he is made, he's twofold more the child of hell than the satanic seed line is. Okay? The seed of the woman is the God seed. Now, do you remember for several Wednesday nights we were studying about who we were, and we found out who were we? We were the Elohim. Let's look in Psalms 82. Let's review this for a moment. Because this proves that we are the God seed. Now this is why we put so much emphasis on this, because I wanted to go back over this two seed line again. Psalms 82:6, God speaking, Yahweh, I have said you are Elohim. That's the Hebrew word here that's translated God's. You are Elohim, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O Elohim, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Our divine destiny is spoken of here. We will inherit all nations. But we've got to judge the earth first, don't we? We've got to bring in justice and righteousness. That's what God put us here for. You realize that? That's our destiny, but that's also our duty to bring in God's judgment, His righteousness, to establish the kingdom of God on earth. That's what we're to be doing. That's what the kingdom of God is, isn't it? Isn't it righteousness? Huh? Well, now this is what he's talking about. Judgment. Rise, Elohim, judge the earth. Why? For you shall inherit all nations. All right. I said, you are Elohim. See? All right, another reference to this is in Psalms 8. Turn to Psalms 8, verse 3. When I considered thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of Adam that thou visitest him, the son of man? For thou hast made him a little lower than the Elohim. Here we have this word Elohim translate angel. Same Hebrew word. You made him lower than the Elohim, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. See, here again, God gives us dominion. We're to inherit the nations. We're to establish the kingdom of God and to rule. All right, now this is further referred to in the New Testament in Hebrews 2, 6 through 8. The same passage from Psalms 8 is quoted. All right, then we have John 10, 34, where Jesus Christ quotes this 82nd Psalm, where he says, is it not said that you are, or have I not said that you are the Elohim, you are God's? All right, we are the Elohim, and we have a duty as well as a destination. We are the children of our Father, God, and we are God's seed. His children, His people. But there's also the children of Satan. All right, back to Genesis 3:15. There will be enmity that always exists in this age between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. So you start looking at our enemies today and who's trying to destroy us and our children and corrupt our morals and make a bunch of degenerates and perverts and everything else out of us, you find out who these seed of the serpent are. There's enmity between them, and you can have all the round table conferences of Christians and Jews that you want, but there'll still be enmity. God has ordained it. And there will always be enmity between the two seed lines. The seed of the woman, from which Christ came, proving that we are the God seed. God came from God. God didn't come out of Timbuktu. He came from God. God brings God. And it was the God seed that brought Christ. It wasn't the seed of the devil. All right, so we've got Christ here proving that we are who we are, the seed of God. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. He didn't say I'm going out and convert a bunch of the devil sheep and then they're going to follow me. He said, matter of fact, that's why my sheep follow me. Another they will not follow. Now, if I'm wrong here, you correct me. But I believe that's said in John the 10th chapter. Another they will not follow because they know my voice and they won't follow the stranger. All right. We have two seed lines. The seed of the devil are what? Like their father, the devil. They're murderers and liars. All right. Therefore, let's ask a question. The seed of the devil is murderers and liars. Who's guilty of the blood that's been shed upon the earth? The seed of the devil, aren't they? The children of the devil. And who did Jesus say was the children of the devil? And who's going to be the murderers and liars? The Jews. Now, I know that's strong medicine. But let's go to another reference. Matthew 23. They want to say you're anti-Semitic, see, if you bring any of this up. But Jesus is the one that brought all this up. I didn't bring it up. Look at what he says in Matthew 23. Now, he says some things here that will shock tradition and tear it all to pieces. Tradition teaches in our Christian so-called churches that a child is not responsible for the acts of their father, and that a child is not penalized because of the acts of the father. Isn't that what you're taught? Huh? But what did Jesus teach? Look in Matthew 23. If we're going to be Christian, let's base our faith on Christ and what He said. Matthew 23:27, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres. What's a sepulcher? It's a tomb, isn't it? And these tombs appear beautifully outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. All right. So we see here they have a connection with death, don't they? Dead men's bones you're full of. Even so, you also appear outwardly righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous and say, now listen to what they say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. And notice what Jesus says. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You've given testimony that you are the descendants of the murderers. And you're just like them. Go ahead and do what your fathers have done. You're no different. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. They're a bunch of murderers who murdered all God's righteous men. And you're no different. Why? Because you are the children of them which killed the prophets. And so what does he call them? He says, you serpents! You generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? I like the way Rotherham reads better there. Bill ordered a Rotherham Bible, and I don't know if you've ever heard about Rotherham. It's called the Emphasized Bible, and it's very good. We've been reading in it, and I really like it. He says a little more forcibly here about that they just can't make it. The damnation's where they've headed. Why? Because you are the children of them that are the murderers. Notice, 35th verse. He says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? You say, well, wait a minute now, all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, how far back does that go? He leaves nothing to your imagination. From the blood of righteous Abel. Man, your guilt, you're the children of them which killed the prophets. You're the children of them which have killed God's righteous people. So you, Father, way back down the line, was Cain himself. That's the only way you could hold children accountable of their father's deeds, was that their father had to do the deed. So Cain was the one that slew Abel. We know that. Therefore, that automatically makes them the children of Cain. See? All right. Now then, Luke 11:47 through 51 reaffirms this, that they're guilty of all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, even from Abel. I like Revelation, particularly the 18th chapter, the 24th verse. God judges Babylon. Now everybody says, oh, that's Babylon, that's not the Jews. We got you here, buddy. Well, if you'll take time to read 1 Peter 5:13, you'll see that Peter calls Judaism Babylon. And Judea he calls Babylon. He wrote his letter from Babylon. There was no Babylon that existed in the day of Peter, and he wasn't talking about Rome either. Who does Paul say that Peter was sent to? Paul says, I'm sent to the nations. Peter, where did Peter have his ministry? In Jerusalem, wasn't it? Judah. Well, and he calls it Babylon. He says, I'm writing to you from Babylon. From God's people in Babylon. All right, where? He was in Juries, where Peter was. All right, so we read over here in Revelation about Jury, about Babylon. Revelation 18:24, and it says, and in her, in Jury, modern Jury today, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. People want to know why we have war. It's not too hard to figure from the Bible. I'll tell you, if a race of people would kill God and shed His blood, don't think they wouldn't kill you. Jesus tells us this. He says, all right, you look how they've treated me and they won't treat you any differently. God established enmity there. He knew that all this would happen. He ordained it. All right, they're guilty of the blood that's been shed upon the earth. All the blood they're responsible for. Why? They are the children of the devil through Cain. All right, John 8:44, the children of the devil by way of Cain. We know that it was Cain that killed Abel. They're the children of those that killed the righteous, so they're the children of Cain. Matthew 23:35, and not of Seth. If you'll remember, it was Seth was the lineage that Jesus came through in the house of Israel. All right, and therefore they can't be Israelites. It's not hard to prove they're not Israelites. Okay. Now then, who was Cain's father? See, we've hooked them all to Cain and said they're the children of the devil. Well, we need one last proof, and that's who is Cain's father. 1 John 3:12 gives you the genealogy of Cain. The only place in the Bible that it ever speaks of Cain's father. Are you familiar with all the genealogies in the Bible? You know, people just hate to read those genealogies. Sometimes I get all excited reading them, you know. They're pretty interesting. But there's, you know, you're familiar with all the genealogies that are in the Bible, and in not one of these genealogies does it ever list Adam as the father of Cain. But in the New Testament, thank God it's in the New Testament. If somebody had said this in the Old Testament, that the devil was Cain's father, everybody said, oh, that's Old Testament stuff, we don't believe it. But boy, it really shocks the whiz out of some of them. You turn them into the New Testament and say, all right, why don't you read who the father of Cain is in 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. 1 John 3:12. Everybody says, oh, that means that Cain was spiritually like the devil. Okay, if you're going to say that, you know that the Greek language has ways it says things just like the English. The Greek construction here in 1 John 3:12 is exactly the same Greek construction as is in Luke 3:23-38, where the genealogy of Jesus Christ is given. It has the same word order in everything. So now, if you are going to make Cain spiritually like that of the devil rather than physically, then when you start reading about Heli being spiritually no better off than is that guy Matthai, and Matthai was spiritually no better off than on down the line we go. See. Well, the genealogy of Christ isn't talking about the spiritualness of people. It's giving a race. So if you say that Luke 3:23-38 is a racial genealogy of Jesus Christ, then friend, if you're consistent, you've got to say that 1 John 3:12 is a racial genealogy too of Cain. The only place in the Bible where it tells you who Cain's father is, nowhere does it say Adam is. I know you've been taught that, but it doesn't say it. It doesn't say that Adam was the father of Cain. Says the devil is. It doesn't say that Adam was, or that Cain was the seed of the woman either. It says Abel was, and it says Seth was. So Cain's out there all by himself. No way to hook him except through Satan. And we know that his people took on the names of the Canaanites. And we've got two fathers, God and Satan, two families of children. So don't get them mixed up. This is our trouble, isn't it? Now, I've got a quotation. You know this from the King James, Hebrews 5:14. This is from the Rotherham Version, the Emphasized Bible. But to such as are mature pertaineth strong food, to them who by reason of habit have their organs of perception well trained for discriminating both good and evil. Now, can you skillfully discriminate? You've been taught discrimination is bad, haven't you? Paul says in Hebrews that only those who are on the strong food of the Word are able to discriminate. Our whole trouble in this life is that we can't discriminate good and evil. For every evil deed, there is always an evil person. You can't have murder without a what? Murderer. You can't have lies without a what? Liar. If you do away with the murderers, guess what happens? You don't have any more murder. If you do away with the liars, guess what ends? The lie. So when God removes Satan, He will also remove His children. No wonder the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Going back to Matthew 13 in the parable. The wheat and the tares and the weeds, they're all gone. Their father that sold them, he's gone. That leaves the righteous. No wonder we can shine. You know, it's like at nighttime taking a candle and lighting it. See? Well, there's so much darkness here. I mean, it can't put out the light, but the light doesn't get very far. There's so much darkness. Well, that's the way it is in an old garden full of weeds and tares. It's so full it wants to choke it out, and it just doesn't, you can't even see it. And when God comes in and weeds his garden, brother, it's really going to be beautiful when he gets through. Beautiful garden. All the wonderful wheat there. And then he's going to separate the wheat and the chaff too. He's got to do some threshing around, some things like that. But we see there's two seed lines, the seed of God, at least two. We see that we have a God seed and also a serpent seed. Now this will bring you right up on the point where we need to be about what was the sin. What was the sin, the original sin? Well, it was that Adam seduced Eve. She says, the serpent, in the King James, says that the serpent beguiled me. And if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it's a euphemy. And euphemy means a word that has a, you know, they change it because it might sound a little gross if you said what really it meant. And serpent didn't beguile her and deceive her, but the serpent seduced me. Matter of fact, in our Geneva Bible, which was translated 50 years before the King James, the third chapter is headed, "The Woman Seduced." That's big bold letters right over the third chapter of Genesis. The woman seduced. And this is what we have, the seduction of Eve. Why do you think God put the curse on the penalty on the woman and said that your desire will be to the husband? Why? Why did he say that? Well, she'd been out here with the serpent, with the devil. And he said that the husband would rule over you from now on. See? There's reasons for why God did what he did and said what he said and put the penalties on he put on. And that's why God went on to tell him this about the seed of the devil and the seed of the woman. God knew that the devil would naturally have seed now. Well, Eve, you know, she's a little guilty like we are. You remember the people in the day of Jesus, they was always rejoicing about the resurrection. Man, they just couldn't wait for the resurrection. And he told them, he says, all right, the very scriptures that give you the idea you're going to have eternal life are the ones that speak of me. But they didn't want to read anything about him. They want to talk about eternal life. Well, Eve's the same way. She didn't want to think about the seed of the serpent, but boy, the seed of God coming through her. Now, that was great news. She liked to think about that. And so automatically, the fourth chapter of Genesis, it starts off, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and he knew the woman, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And the from there in the Hebrew is mistranslated. It's the word for even. I've gotten a man, even the Lord. She was just guilty of wishful thinking. She says, God told me that my seed would overcome the old serpent, and so this must be the seed of God here, the Redeemer, come in the flesh. So I've gotten a man. Well, this is Yahweh himself. And then immediately it says, and she bore. It doesn't say that she conceived again. It says she bore Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, and she bore Abel and named him and all this. Why didn't she conceive again? She had already conceived twice. Now, I've got an article out of a newspaper that talks about a woman who had twins by two different men. And this is exactly what's happened in Genesis, the third chapter. The woman had the seed of the serpent as well as the seed of God through Adam. That's why she is able to bear two sons with only one conception spoken of. Why? Because the serpent had already seduced her. And then Adam seduced her. All right, you've got two races of people. Enmity here between them both. And this is what is working in today, the two races, the seed of the serpent, Cain's line and his ancestry, and the seed of God through Seth and Jesus Christ.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a tape of today's message, including other programs from this week, tell us the date and station to which you are listening, and send a donation to cover our cost, plus help with radio time, to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.